Mr. George Davidson, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Davidson?
2/4/24, Tullyneasle, Aberdeenshire, Scotland.
And what was the date?
2/4/24.
Sorry. Good start. And could you tell me a bit about your family and your background as a young lad?
Yes, my father was a steam engine driver. There were 7 of us in the family, 6 sons and 1 daughter.
Was it a comfortable upbringing? What was it like?
I lived a lot of time with my grandmother, because with me being the eldest in a big family, just ease the load a bit, you know, and mother and father.
And what school did you go to?
I went to several schools. Public schools, isn't it? The last school I went to was Alford, was a secondary school. I went to the same school all my schooling days. I just went to 4 different schools.
And was there any particular subject you were interested in, bad at, or good at?
I liked maths and history.
And what about sport?
Yes, football. Modern football.
Did you play or just watch?
I did, yes. Played for school, played for the village team and all that. Played in the army. Yeah.
And how old were you when you left school?
14.
So that'd be 1938?
That's right, yes.
And what was it planned for you to do?
Well, there's no plan. Up there on them days, when you left school, go and work on the farm. That's what I had to do. Then when I was about 16, I got a job on the Forestry Commission, not cutting trees, and sawing off timber now.
So that'd be about 1940. What about when you were on the farm? What were you doing on the farm?
Some things are working on the horses, and some things looking after the cattle.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, that's all I knew, you know what I mean? Which is a big thing of it. Because it was a long hours and a hard life.
And before you went to the forest, the war broke out. Before you went to the forest, would it be?
No. I was in the Forestry Commission when the war was over.
Okay. What were you doing? The Forestry Commission, what work did you do for them?
It was felling trees and peeling the bark off trees. That was for pit props for the coal mines.
Could you tell us a bit more about that? Because that's something we don't know much about. I mean, how did you go about felling them and then stripping the bark off?
Well, 2 of you and a saw, you know what I mean? Just sawing them down. And then stripping the branches off. That's what we used to call nicking the branches off. And then peeling the bark off. And then it went to the sawmill, which was just a prop saw, you know. And it cut into different lengths, already for the coal mines.
And what about in your normal, did you have any hobbies, or were you in any boys' societies,
no,
boy scouts, boys' brigade, anything like that?
No,
so what about the outbreak of war? Did it come as a surprise?
Well, as I say, I was all my young then, so I didn't pay an awful attention to it.
Did you hear the broadcast? And
no, I didn't know. No. I don't think we're aware of the same dates.
Did you think it would affect you then? Because you were the age to be called up. You know,
I wouldn't really bother about it, I don't think. You know.
So did it affect your work for the Forestry Commission?
No. I don't think so.
So you didn't have to change?
No, really, I think I could have an excuse to call up. But coming from a village, it would look very good in front of the other lads. We all went, all us young lads who worked in the Forestry Commission, we all went to the services.
Mm-hmm. Now, when were you called up?
15th of October, 1942.
And where did you have to, what was the procedure by which you were called up?
Called up to the Gordon Helder Barracks, Brigham Down Barracks in Aberdeen. It was the Gordon Helder headquarters. And did six weeks of general training.
What could you tell us a bit about that then? What was the barrack accommodation like?
It was a Nissen hut. No, it was proper barrack rooms there. Yeah. It was a line on the beds was about, I think, 3 boards, about 3 or 4 inches off the floor. And it was nearly all square bashing and all that. That's what that was.
What was the food like?
Nothing special. Well, I was getting food what we never used to have at home, like fried potatoes in the morning for breakfast. Never used to have that at home. You know.
Was it better or worse?
I'd say it's better than what it was at home.
And how did you get on with the other members of your squad? Were you actually with the Gordon Highlanders?
No, we were just attached to them. You see, they wore their badge, you know what I mean, and their back, the touch one, you know. But only just because it was their headquarters, we were dressed in their hats.
And were the rest of the lads very similar background to yourselves?
Yes, well, a lot of them were from down south, Englishmen, yes.
And how was there a...
No, okay.
And what about the training, drill? How did you take to drill?
Maybe in a bit of a short sort of kick, so I mean, open my legs, I wouldn't fall out, you know, and I wouldn't go on quick enough. So, no, it was all right. It's a nice change from working for the venture, you know. Even in that job, you still have to do what you're told when you're only a youngster, and you know, and the bit older ones take it out of you.
So there's drill. What are the training? Weapons training. What weapons?
Yes, that's right.
What did you get?
Just a rifle.
And how did they go about teaching you that?
I can't remember. No, just slope arms and all that business and firing the shots. You know, walk to the ray firing range.
Bayonet training?
No, I don't think I did any of that. No. Well, you said it. Not very much, though. Just, you know, like.
What about machine guns of any sort?
No, I didn't know.
Lewis?
No.
Ren?
No. I don't think so.
Any other training while you were there?
Well, they gave you seven little tests to see what you think would be best suited for. Just on a simple level. Like with strip a gun, maybe for us, and strip something else. Like an adjustable spanner, strip out and put it back together. To see what you could be suited for. That's why I saw it for the tanks, I think. You know.
And, you did well at that, the stripping?
You must have.
What did you think when you, I mean, did you want to go to the tanks?
No, I didn't know. Actually, when I had to go in for my interview in medical for calling out, I went to the Navy. But the chap interviewed me, said, look, you can have a Navy provided you stay on for 7 years. But I didn't want to do that. But as regards to tanks, I never dreamt that there was. Before I was even called up, I was in a cinema in Aberdeen one day, and there was a newsreel, you know, on it. And I seen the tanks coming through the trees, not crashing down, up and down. I said my mate's coat, I wouldn't like to be in the entrance. That's where I finished.
So, where were you sent?
Cartwright, Yorkshire.
What, the big armour camry?
60th, Whitworth Lines, 60th Training Regiment, Whitworth Lines.
60th?
Yeah, Whitworth Lines.
And how did they put you through your paces there? What? Can you break down the training for us as much detail as you remember? You know,
the first month it was a square bashing, and then you had a week in radio, gunnery, and driving, and wheels and tracks.
Well, let's take them first. So the radio, how much detail did they give you on that?
Well, they give you a fair bit, and then they give you a taste of the finishing of Morse code and all that business, you know. But you had a week on each. That's a month.
Were you learning to send, or...?
Yes. That was a month you had of that. You know, like wireless, gunnery, and the driving and maintenance, and wheels and track, and armour wheels.
Well, taking them one by one, so nothing else you remember about signals. Were you all right with the signals?
Yes, all right, yes. Well, if you did so many in a certain amount of time, you got, I think, it was an extra day's leave when you were sending your first leave, so I got that. I was in 3 days.
So that's
I was, the chap was giving out the names that they would have passed. My initial D unit, you know, when I never mentioned, he wrote my name out last in his names. That's what I'd feel like.
So there's the signals, and then the gunnery. Well, what gunnery training did you get there?
Well, it was in Valentine tanks, I think. There's only 6-pounder guns, you know, and the small machine gun, I can't remember the machine gun.
And what was the gun drill? Do you remember it?
No, I don't know.
So there's that. And then what about learning to drive? You say it's wheeled and track. You start with wheeled. So
that's right.
Could you drive before?
Only I've never tracked in the wood, you know what I mean? But that was all. We started with wheels and then had an armoured car and then on the tracks. And after the end of the month, they send you on your leave.
Well, can you not remember much more about your train on the wheels and the tracks?
No. I know I remember one day out in one of them 1500 weight trucks, I think it was. There's only a half piece of glass in front of us, see? And this instructor with me was a Corporal Hurst. I never forgot his name, Corporal Hurst. And he would give me instructions, and with the wind and that coming past, you could hardly hear sometimes. I'd turn and smile to him, you know, and he thought it was my mother. He said, if you don't stop laughing at me, you little bastard, he says, I'll take you and I'll put one in. Honestly. But I couldn't hear him because the wind coming past. So that was that little incident past.
Did you have any trouble with the gears? Because they were double the clutch in those days,
right? Double clutch, yes.
Any trouble with it?
No, I don't think so, no.
And then with the tanks, which tank were you learning to drive?
Valentine.
They were that was a Valentine as well. And what was it like how did you do it?
Well, I was sitting in there and I could see people outside through the periscope, you know. you didn't get an awful lot of instruction, though, you know.
How did you steer it?
Sticks, stillers.
And they changed the speed of the tracks, did they?
That's right. When you pull this one, that slows down it. Like a wheels in the car, that slows down the tracks, see? And then it speeds up.
And no trouble?
No trouble at all.
And so then at the end of that, you passed the course?
Yes.
And you got leave?
And a leave.
And when would that be?
I was here about a month. I went down there. Must have been about December time. I saw him for Christmas anyway, on leave.
And then what?
And then you're back to the regiment, and it's all up in the notice board what you're going to be trained as. And that's up to me, being trained as a potential tank gun. I'm not fighting people, you know. That's it.
So this is the 60th training regiment?
That's right, the fixed lines.
So how did they go about making you, you know, what extra training? Now they'd picked what you were going to do of the three things.
That's right.
What extra training did they give you in driving?
Not an awful lot, really, just... We've got a lot of square bashing as well as the driving the tanks, you know, and route matches. We've had a fair bit of that before you got posted to a regiment.
And this was still just on the Valentines?
On the Valentines.
You didn't get a go on anything else?
Nothing else, no.
What did you think of the Valentine?
Well, I thought it was great for a start, but after I've seen other times, I thought it was toys, you know.
So, what next then? When were you posted to?
Posted to the second fighting for her young, right?
And when was that?
It must have been about April 43. Around about that time.
So, you were with them about another 4 months on this sort of training, more square bashing?
Yeah, that's right, 4 to 6 months, something like that. And I went down to Newmarket in Suffolk. They were fighting for her station. Can't remember the name of the place, no? I know it was near Newmarket anyway.
Chippenham,
that's the one. Chippenham.
And what were your first impressions of them when you met them?
Were they second thing for
them? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, really. A lot of the chaps, even though they were Scots, they didn't know what I was saying. Because I used to speak broad Aberdonian, you know. They didn't know anything. That was the trouble that's the corporal instructor teaching me to drive. No, I didn't know what he was saying. That was that.
And were most of them Scots, or was it?
A lot of them were English. A lot of chaps were English.
What proportion? Half and half, or what?
No, more than half were English. Yes. And I have heard that the reason for that is in case of a slaughter, you know, and there's not too many sadness in the same area. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
And what squadron were you put in? When you joined,
and our major was John Gilmore.
And what was Gilmore like?
He was all right. And I saw him when I went up to that thing in 1989. You know, the reunion. And I hadn't seen him since I left the fights way back in 1945 in Germany. And as I said, it was a long time in it, and he hadn't changed much. He kept looking at me and I kept looking at him. I remember the time when we were stationed at Biddington in Yorkshire. Our tanks were out in the field and we'd been doing maintenance. And it was time to go to that. And I'd crawl out the driver's compartment, left my web belt and the revolver hanging over the side of the open. I know it was wrong. But I didn't mean to do it. And this young nincompoop of an officer just joined the regiment, I don't know who he was, he was snooping around and he seen it, see? So, of course, I had to go on a fizzer on a charge. I think I've got a week in Junkers, you know, you know, that's CV. We weren't in barracks, so we missed much, you know. And that consisted of helping the Naffy girls in the Naffy and the one civilian woman in the kitchen, they had the peels, spuds, and vegetables collected that they had crockery now. And in Scotland, if your name's George, you very often get called Dodd. That's short for George, you see. Because they were calling me Dodd, this old woman here calling me Dodd. She thought of calling me Dodd, but she just called me Dodd.
So there was Gilmore, and he was all right. Who else? Any other characters in the squadron or officers? Because each tank could have a tank commander, wouldn't it? Was there an officer or an NCO? Yeah. Who was your troop commander or section commander?
Different ones. I drove three officers, I had, and drove a couple of sergeants, and that was it.
When you started, though, who were you with when you started?
I can't remember, I'll tell you the truth. Because they used to swap us around, you know.
Any characters at the time, when you first joined? Anybody stand out in the squadron?
There was a few comedians, you know.
Who were they?
There was Alec Good, he was a faith block, you know, from Fisher, Alec Good, Jimmy Fraser, and Johnny Murray. Three faith blocks, though. Actually, they were three drivers as well, the same as I was, when we were the same troop, you know. But they were older than me, of course. Their characters, they were.
And how did you settle in?
Fine, thanks. Yes. Fine. I've just done the Chipman, like, and then come up back up to this and Hudson, in the village outside Bridlington.
Now, which Rudston, which tanks were you using at the time?
At that time, we'd on Sherman's.
You'd already got Sherman's then?
Yes.
And what did you think of the Sherman?
Very good.
In what way?
Well, I thought it was easier to drive than the Valentine. Although, if you're going slow, the steering, the sticks again, you know, the stillers, if you're going slow, they're very hard to pull down in a sharp turn. Do a skid turn. But I thought it was very good for me.
And what did everybody in the tank crew do that you can remember? So you were the driver.
The driver. And then there's a co-driver.
Where would they be? On your right?
On here, yeah.
Yeah, right.
On the right there.
And they'd have the brown. Would they have the whole Browning?
They'd have the 303 Browning. And the machine gun up was theirs. If it was a Firefly Sherman, which had a diesel engine in it, you didn't have a co-driver, none at all. But they had the same crew in the turret, three in the turret, gunner, wireless assault, and the crew commander.
Yeah. And that was the crew?
That was the crew in the Firefly. This fiddler I told you about, he used to be a driver on the Firefly. The Shermans we had 5-6 cylinder engines in them, but the Fireflies had one diesel engine.
The Fireflies would come later though, would they?
That's right, yeah. We didn't have them then.
What did you think of did you know about German tanks? When you were at Rudston, were you aware of how strong the Germans, things like the Tiger, were?
I didn't realise they were so big and powerful as what they were, you know, and fast.
So you were quite confident in your Shermans then?
Well, to me it was, yes. No, yeah.
And,
The Germans used to call them guns and cigarette lighters, didn't they? Because they used to blow up so quick, you know.
And were you aware of that at the time? Before you went into action?
No, I didn't know.
Because they called them Tommy cookers as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Pardon?
Tommy cookers as
that's
well.
That's right, yes, that's right.
But you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know.
And what were you doing at Rudston?
We still just carried on and schemes and all that, you know.
What sort of scheme would you do?
Because
there's Operation Black Cock and another couple
of...
What was that like?
There was another one we did. I'll tell you one thing I didn't think was very good. Once we did up there, all the crops were ripe and ready for harvesting. We used to go straight through them with our tanks, flatten them, you know. I sure think we were very popular with the farmers. I think that was maybe Black Cock. There was another one we did there.
Eagle. Oh.
Eagle, was it? Could have been.
I think so, but not quite sure.
Could have been, I guess.
What was that?
Same sort of thing, you know. Attacking, supposed to be attacking the positions. Yeah.
What other controls did you have? You see, you had the two gear.
Yes.
That changed the speeds of the tracks and turned you. Did you have anything else?
The accelerator, foot brake, and the handbrake.
A foot brake?
Yes, I'm sure there was. Yes, there was. Yeah.
And when would you use the foot brake? And when would you use the handbrake?
When you went to slow up, I suppose, and stuff.
And that would slow both. Would that slow both tracks at the same time?
Yes, I suppose it did. Yes. Unless you pulled the tillers back, I used to do it as well. See.
And what about the handbrake?
Foot brake, yeah.
What was the handbrake for?
One was stationary, I can't remember. Stationary, I suppose. I'm sure there was one there. The engine was between the, not the engine, the gearbox, was between the core driver and you, you know. So I'm sure it was on there. People are going to be thinking now.
Right. And what about no other controls? What could you see out of?
Well, the periscope. When you're battening down, the periscope. But you could raise your seat and push your lid up when you're not latching and have your head sticking out.
Yeah. And that would be what you normally did?
That's right.
And
when we were in action, that's how we used to drive on the wall, with the flaps open.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you had your heads out?
With the heads out, that's right.
What was the view like through the periscope? Was it bad then?
No, it was not bad, really. Yeah.
Could you move it, or was it just fixed?
Yes, you could move it around and around, yeah.
So, what, you went on these exercises. I mean, would you learn much from the exercises, or would that be mainly...
You need more experience driving, you know, when you come up against different obstacles, you know, driving.
What was the knack of going over? Because what sort of obstacles would they give you to try and...
When it reached the point of balance, you went down again. That was a funny situation. So, you know, the tank transporters, when they used to take us on these, when you got their arms, and then you reached the point of balance, come down, that was a great sky, and it coming down. That was a funny situation. First start, you know. You got used to it. So.
Did you have to be careful not to somersault them, you know, turn them over?
Right,
and how would you avoid it? You just be careful. And what about tipping them over sideways? I mean, were you aware of what sort of slope you could go around without tipping them over?
No, I don't think they were. No.
And you'd practice on obstacles, would you?
Oh, yes. You've got me thinking now with the handbrake on in the tank.
Don't worry.
I know you should slow it up with stakes. Tell her, brother.
And what about driving through things like walls or, you know, practicing going through buildings, that sort of thing? Did you do any of that?
No, I did any of that, no.
So, how long were you at Rudston for?
Well, we went from Rudston, and that room was here in the summer, and then we went into civilian houses in Bridlington for the winter. And then we went down to Lancashire.
Well, when you were with the civilians, we billeted with people.
No, the houses were empty. We had they commandeered the houses.
How did you get on with the Yorkshire folk?
Well, very good. Yes, all right.
Well, they were friendly.
Oh, yes.
And then down to Aldershot.
Down there about March, I think it was 44, something like that.
Did you know D-Day was coming up? I mean, obviously you wouldn't.
We heard different things, you know.
And where were you in Aldershot?
Well, I can't remember the name of the barracks, but it was just opposite the Queen's Hotel.
Was it an old barracks?
Yes, old barracks.
And what were they like?
Well, it was Spartan, right? You know what I mean? Old-fashioned. Yeah.
And did you do... would you start waterproofing there?
Yeah, we did. That's when we did the waterproofing.
And how did they do that? Do you remember now?
Pardon?
Do you remember how they did it?
Sorry.
Or how did you do it?
Well, does that work? That seal will put on all the joints. We didn't do it in the barracks. We did it outside the barracks, you know, on the wood we did it. What's the name of that stuff again?
What was it like? Describe it if you don't.
Sticky stuff.
What colour?
Greenish, I think. Yes, greenish. Yeah. What is it called again?
Did they do this business of taking the exhaust up high as well?
No, I didn't do that. Oh, yes, I did. I think we did, yes. No. Stick a bit on. Yeah. I can't remember the name. That stuff we used for the water seal. But I know we did do it.
And any other last-minute preparations?
No. Apart from getting drunk.
Did you drink a fair bit then?
No, we never had money. We used to 21 shillings a week. We used to send 3 shillings home to my parents, you know. 3 shillings. That was 5 shillings. Shillings, yeah.
And what next then? You waterproofed at Aldershot or in the woods outside of...
Yeah, that's...
And then what?
That was it. I went more or less hanging about.
What did you think when you heard about D-Day? Because you didn't go across straight away, did you?
No, we didn't, no. A few days after, I went.
believe you're outside Gosport for a while, and
that's right, yes, and then from here, Gosport.
And what do you remember of the crossing?
Well, I've never been on a boat before. It's a Yankee landing craft, you know what I mean? I've never been, was getting jam and anything for breakfast. Never had all that business. Not much ever, really. You're young then.
How did they load them? How did they load the tanks on?
Just up the ramps into the, yeah. And there's the MPs or military policemen in there, brigading you, you know.
Now, who was in your tank crew at this time? Do you remember? This is your first active service one.
I can't remember who it was then, no.
Do you remember the tank commander?
No, I can't remember.
It's okay.
You moved the boat, you see.
What about the crossing?
That was all right, I think.
Not rough.
What a job we're going about, you know what I mean?
And where did you land?
Great. Did nobody tell you? Was it Gold Beach? It just went too far from Bayou anyway.
And how did you feel going? You were going into action. I mean, you knew it was coming up soon. Were you nervous at all, or were you all right?
Well, if I was, I tried not to show it.
What happened next then? The first bit. You went forward to Shirk, didn't you? You moved forward, didn't you?
Yeah.
With no opposition at first.
That's right. You know.
What do you remember though, those first days?
I couldn't play.
You don't remember much about the first time.
No,
what's the first thing you do remember?
All the gunfire, like when I got to used to it, you know what I mean?
Hang on.
So what things happen, you didn't pay much attention to, you know.
So what's the first thing you do remember?
I think it's the Farley Gap, I think it was.
What happened then? Is that Goodwood?
Yeah, Goodwood, that's right.
That was, you don't remember the Epsom that preceded it?
That was one before, what did we do there?
Epsom's advance on Sher.
Sure, yeah. I tell you, it wouldn't be much good to you.
No, you're fine, don't worry. So what do you remember about Goodwood then? That was...
I lost all the tanks, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, that was on an TV programme. About this German officer telling him to stop fairly attacking the aircraft from the guns on the tanks.
So this would be on the right about the 18th of July. So what do you remember?
I remember the smell of all the bodies lying about in the dead animals, you know, right there. Yeah.
And what do you remember of the actual fighting?
Well, I used to like to see them try to find a lot of fire in airplanes all over. They used to put the German tanks in their place.
And what were you actually doing in your tank? I mean, what happened to you during that day?
Driving. Oh, nothing at all. No.
You weren't hit at all?
No.
And did you see any German tanks, or did you fire on anything, your
yeah,
tank?
Yeah, but I didn't see them. Well, away, you know what I mean? They're too big for us, anyway. They're tigers. We used to put the fear of God up our smokes, you know, once we get to the northern. Each side had more 75mm guns than doing good.
Anything else about that day? Were you away? You were suffering such heavy casualties?
No, not until later. No. Not until after one of the good.